Look, Matt.
Where?
Oh, I see.
Wow. My, oh, my.
Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that culture?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong, Las Culturistas calling. And here's the deal.
Okay.
You hear our voices, and I can tell you from where we're speaking right now, we are currently in Dumbo, Brooklyn.
But
when you're listening to this,
uh-huh,
we will be in Orlando, Florida.
That's not necessarily true.
Well, you know, if you're listening on the day of release.
Well, okay, just metaphysically, we're not going to be in Dumbo is what Matt's trying to say.
Right. But as you guys know, I don't know my words, but I do know my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that you're listening on the day of release.
And yes.
I have a feeling people are going to be excited about this episode.
Of course.
And if you are, I'm going to say, what is it? Probably noon?
Sure.
If you're listening at noon on the day of release, we will probably, if our fast pass is followed,
yes,
just be getting off Space Mountain.
Absolutely. We're doing a noon Space Mountain because that's the time to do it.
If I'm correct about my itinerary that I created.
Sure, sure, sure.
And I think I am because I do invest a lot of energy into
you
this.
You are fastidious in your planning for Disney World.
Bowen is, of course, pulling the word fastidious from a recent audition breakdown that we both got, and they were trying to say gay without saying gay, so they said fastidious.
They're weaponizing the word against us.
Right, right, right.
So you know what? Why not throw it back and take back the power?
Absolutely. We're two fastidious boys,
uh-huh,
who are in Orlando, perhaps currently, depending on when you're listening.
Exactly. Well, you guys, we're so
excited. Having a great time.
And having a great time.
We assume.
And for those of you who are joining us on Patreon, thank you so much. We're having a blast on there so far, so please keep tuning in. Maybe throw $5 our way.
$5.
It's nothing. It's a latte, which everyone says, right? Like,
yeah,
that's the price point.
It's a latte. It's a coffee if you tip.
If you tip. That's the rule.
I don't know. Today I spent $4.75 on a coffee.
It's
Is
too
that
much.
Not...
It's too much. It's too much.
Too much.
Anyway, you know what? We'll talk about this later.
It was a fine coffee.
Okay, good.
All right, good.
Right, great. We have really a truly incredible guest today.
Don't jump around it. Icon.
Icon. You know what?
Here's the thing. You shake your head and get bashful, but you are.
And I have a question that's just a rephrasing of what a friend of the show, John Early, asked her one time at the Ally Coalition, at an Ally Coalition event. But, you know, we'll get into this.
We'll get into that question.
Let's go through the credits.
I mean, they come rolling down, as we say. Reality Bites, which Wikipedia says solidified her as a icon of Generation X.
Well, Wikipedia quoted someone else as a secondary source.
Okay, so this is already something to get into here.
This.
What the hell? I don't even know what our generation is. I know millennial, but it seems broad. I don't know.
Okay.
All I know is the Spice Girls did a Pepsi ad, and they said, Generation X. And even with them, I was very unclear who they were talking to.
We were in that window.
Anyway. Wet Hot American Summer, baby. Both the movie and both series on Netflix.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion. Perhaps
my
favorite Mystery Men. And you haven't seen Mystery Men, which I just...
I haven't seen Mystery Men. Well, thanks for outing me right in front of her. But
listen, we can't all see everything, but you should have seen Mystery Men.
Of course,
Men.
I should have.
The Larry Sanders Show, The Ben Stiller Show, The West Wing, and 24, which I have to get into it with her about 24.
We'll
because,
get into it.
All right. Everyone, please, it's time. He's just stand up, an icon, as we said. Please welcome
Janine Garofalo.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Hi, Janine.
Hi. First, I'm not Gen X.
What Gen?
I'm the tail end of the baby boomers.
Okay.
I was playing a Gen X. I was 29 at the time, mm-hmm, playing a 20 or a 21-year-old. The rest of the cast was
Gen X.
Was firmly a Gen X.
Right. But I actually was 29.
So what's the tension between being the poster child for this, you know, generation?
I don't think I am the poster child for that generation. At the time in the 90s, I guess I was lumped in with that.
Yeah.
But I always tried to say I'm much older than, I mean, I can't take that mantle. But I guess if there's a poster person for it, it would be Winona.
She, I think, probably is the poster child of that. And, you know, we recently have seen all these commercials about the comeback. Have you seen these perfume commercials with her?
I saw it once, yeah.
It was pretty amazing it's this commercial that's like, once in a generation. It's like this kind of like comeback-centric perfume ad, and then you see it's Winona. And I didn't know who it was going to be. It looked like Natalie Portman from the back, mm-hmm, and then it was Winona, and I was like, absolutely 100%.
But also, she didn't go anywhere.
Really?
No,
didn't go anywhere.
She was in Black Swan, among other things. She was more artsy films, and
yes,
also By Choice.
Yes.
she didn't was around. Do a lot of stuff, but she was definitely around. But it's even it's very strange. A comeback, they would say Will yeah. Smith, who
is sitting here, in a sense, is sitting here.
I remember once in a preview for a film he did, Will Smith's comeback. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, no.
He's ubiquitous and
absolutely.
Has been for years.
Absolutely.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's not a comeback.
Now,
don't call it a comeback.
Don't call it a comeback. I do want to follow up with what John asked you one time, which is, I mean, he was going to phrase it as...
Who is also in Wet Hot American Summer.
Yes, absolutely. Who's also in Wet Hot American Summer, your co-star.
Ubiquitous as well these days.
Also ubiquitous. Will not have a comeback anytime soon.
No.
John asked you, am I a gay icon? But he really, I mean, that was like a misdirect from asking you, are you a gay icon? Janine, can you answer that for us tonight?
I don't know if I'm a gay icon. That might be overstating it, but I many, many people over the years have mistaken me for both gay and Jewish, to which I say, thank you. I take it as a compliment because it makes me seem far more interesting than an asexual atheist.
But
it gives me more texture.
But asexuality is inherently interesting, I would say.
Absolutely.
It's just more interesting than the presence of sexuality.
It's not what, I mean, I think most people would describe themselves as sexual beings and yes. to be asexual, that's
yeah,
interesting.
Yeah, I have a biologically low libido, always have. I mean, there was a brief period where it seemed to be kind of normal mm-hmm, in right. my late 30s, and I think it was a biological imperative, like my body saying, if you want to have a kid, which I did not, mm-hmm. this is your last chance.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Also, when I used to drink heavily, I would be sexual, but that was just...
A chemical thing.
A contingency of the alcohol.
Exactly.
As it often is,
well,
yes.
I mean, Janine, that technically qualifies you to be under the LGBTQQIA for asexual
wow, you
umbrella.
Know all the letters.
There's so many letters now. So many letters.
It's a big old soup. But you're technically a queer icon, so I think we can bestow that
honor upon
you.
Well, I take that as a huge compliment because
oh, yeah.
the queer intelligentsia tend to have interesting taste, you know,
sure.
discerning taste.
Oh,
so.
Wow.
Absolutely.
I mean, we're pretty, we sort of wallow on the low end of things on this program.
I don't know. We saw Call
well,
Me By Your
low
Name.
Well, there's low-end taste, you know, which would be, I feel Perez Hilton and Andy Cohen.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sort of cultivates that gossipy.
Sure.
Sometimes the comedy of cruelty.
Yes.
The succession of like a John Waters, maybe.
Yeah, I feel like I take it as a huge compliment if it is coming from the right source.
Okay.
I would consider us the right source.
Sure. Yes, I consider you guys the right source.
Okay,
did you see the queer film of the year, Call Me By Your Name?
No, I haven't. I haven't seen that, but I have certainly read every great review
yeah.
of it.
Every piece. Of which there are many.
There are.
We're not necessarily fans. You really don't like it.
I'm comparing it to the source material, to
the book,
which I love. But you know what? I mean, we don't have to get into this. I just want to say, because I don't want...
Kissing Jessica Stein.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But you're all over the place because, okay, I had forgotten you were in 24.
Right, I was just in it for one season.
Right, I watched the season that... I actually watched that season. See, before I, like, understood what 24 sort of was, I was very into it. There was the one season, which was... Remember when the president was, like, a terrorist at the end? Did you watch the show before you were on it?
I didn't really, but okay. I was just flattered somebody offered me a job.
Yeah.
And my good friend Marilyn Rice Cup was on it, and also
she's
Reese
amazing.
Coiro. So
yeah.
There you go.
I was very happy to have work with friends, although I did not agree with the politics
right.
of the creators, producers. Mm-hmm. That was... Mm-hmm. an issue, and also I was just there to make liberals look weak, and he did that on purpose.
Yeah.
I mean, Joel Surnow, who's a big right-wing guy,
yeah.
who thinks it's a great thing to say that he's best friends with Rush Limbaugh.
Ugh.
I really feel you should keep that to yourself.
100%.
But he thought that was,
yeah.
aren't I great? But he knew about my politics,
right.
and he intended to make me look weak. Then there was a big writer's strike. I celebrated
oh,
two
yeah.
birthdays in one season on that because there was so much time off. And
oh,
then
wow.
their new
oh,
writers
wow.
came in and they never picked up that through line of...
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And also, it was supposed to make a female president look weak, but you can't make Cherry Jones look weak.
No,
Cherry Jones
you.
Has the gravitas.
Yes.
To, yeah.
Yeah.
So his plans were foiled.
Yeah.
A few
there
times.
You go.
That's actually rule of culture number 75.
Cherry Jones has the gravitas.
You know, we'll find
it. She stands in her truth as Susie Orman would want her to do.
Absolutely. All right, so
gay icon.
Big time.
Are Susie and Cherry
a gay
linked
financial
at all?
Icon.
Well, of course. Are Susie and Cherry linked at all, or is that just like a convenient?
No. Susie Orman always talks about standing in your truth.
Standing in your truth. And she does.
Oh, boy. I fucks with a Susie Orman 40-minute video of her just lecturing about you know,
fiduciary responsibility, fiscal prudence.
There you go.
I like the cut of her jib. She knows what's what. I await further instructions.
Yes, absolutely. Let's absorb.
Absorb.
Exalt. So, is that what happened on the season of 24? Your character gets like interrogated and broken, or like gives up
information? Well, it was all like changed because a couple things happened. The strike and Marilyn Ricecup unexpectedly got pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Ah, yes.
So then they had my character have her thrown in jail because you couldn't, because even though it's just one day.
Yeah, right. Of
and
course.
So after the strike was over, she was clearly showing a pregnancy. Right. So there was in the video where she's incarcerated, she's behind a big box.
Uh-huh. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so
that box, those
see.
Boxes that are in prison.
So that you can't see.
She could have just had a big
lunch.
Much
like on that great show Playing House, which I love, where one of the characters was pregnant and they went out of their way to have boxes everywhere that she could stand behind. Bird Bones, the character of Bird Bones.
I see. The best is, I think it was on like Desperate Housewives, they all had to like carry a pillow at some point.
They always try and hide it in some way if they don't want to write it into the story.
Right. I think it should be written into every story.
Absolutely. Maybe that character on 24 just... I was going to say had a big lunch, but maybe she got knocked up.
Well, like I said, it's just one day, so it's hard to...
Yeah, exactly. Right. This is true.
Because Marilyn Ricecup is a very lean... There's no body fat on Marilyn Ricecup. And even when she was very pregnant, it was just like a little basketball. But the thing was, it was different.
Sure.
The television, it does famously...
Add 45 pounds.
Yeah. 45,
In my case, it adds
60 pounds.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, well, here's the thing. We are going to now ask you the question that we ask all of our guests, which is, what is the culture that made you, Janine, step in a cultural direction? Like, this was the first movie you saw, tune you heard, television show you were a regular fan of that made you say, okay, culture, it might be for me.
Well, the thing is it's a difficult question because culture is around us.
It's everything.
No, and there's high, low, middle brow culture. It just exists. There's just by being born, you are part of a culture.
Absolutely. Yes.
But I do have some key things that I guess directed my taste. One of the first, I guess there's a combination. As a child in the 70s, comedy albums were very big. My older brother had George Carlin, Cheech and Chong. Mm-hmm. My parents had Nichols and May and Bob and Ray. And I would just listen to them.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And I was just a huge fan. Then SCTV came on in 1975 was a huge influence. And also around that time, I saw a movie called Take the Money and Run by Woody Allen. Mm-hmm. And I thought, I want to somehow this. And the thing about, I guess, one's taste, because we curate, in a way, our own culture. Mm-hmm. You have, I don't know if epiphany is too strong a word, but something catches your attention and it sticks.
Right. For some reason.
And then you become intellectually curious about wanting to go deeper into that thing.
Right. Uh-huh, uh-huh.
And so I would say, comedically speaking, I feel I had good taste in comedy even as a young person. And they say comedy's subjective. I disagree with that. Mm-hmm. There are some... by any metric, bad comedy.
For sure.
You know what I mean? And good comedy. And Albert Brooks also, I became a fan of his albums, A Star Is Bought and Comedy Minus One. But I would say those were huge influences. And as I got older, Letterman came on when I was in high school. Mm-hmm. That was a real touchstone for many, many people.
Because everyone tried to emulate that.
Right,
thing,
but also it caught the attention of certain people. This is different. Something's going on because it's authentic.
Right.
And it's very
when
cerebral,
things are
too.
Authentic,
yeah.
And even when it's being stupid and silly, it's coming from a smart source. So that's very different from when stupid comedy is coming from a dumb source. But when it's coming from a smart source, it's all the more interesting.
Yeah, it just feels different.
And then I would say the second major factor was... when I went to Providence College, Rhode Island, big mistake, but at least I
was it Rhode Island or Providence College?
Providence College in Providence, Rhode Island. It was a very religious university, which I went to by choice. I'm an atheist now, but I was religious. And WBRU, which was Brown University's college radio station, I could get on my radio. And that music reached me. Mm-hmm. It was different. It was better. And sent me down a path of seeing these bands live where you meet other people in these venues in Rhode Island and Boston. And you see different kind of people, and also sartorial choices change.
Right.
There's ways people dress and carry themselves, the music they listen to, the comedy they like, the books they read. Also, somebody turned me on to Howard Zinn and Noam Chomsky. Mm-hmm. So all of these things taken together became sort of, I guess, my awakening. And I don't like words like woke. like, you know what I mean? And I understand woke in the dictionary means awake, but I don't like it's used with slang. And when people use slang for important things, it bugs me.
Oh, yeah.
Hashtag woke. Just speak it. You're an adult. Speak it. Yep. Just say enlightened, awake, whatever it is. Don't put a hashtag in front of it. It undercuts the gravitas of what you're talking about.
Right. It makes it seem like a tool instead of like something that you feel.
You're just making it frivolous. You're being frivolous with language.
Right.
But Janine, you just gave us a full sort of tapestry of the contours of your upbringing.
And also then Kids in the Hall, things of that nature.
Yeah.
But also I grew up in a time before social media, before personal computer, people had them, before all of these things. So when there was comedy or music, people made tapes and passed them around. You know what I mean? It's like an underground railroad of rewatching Robert Tilton, the pastor of Gas, or the Uncle Floyd show, which was on a local affiliate. Mm-hmm. Or just, it used to be called college radio.
Right.
Then it was indie and then alt.
Yeah.
But these things were not that easy to find. And then also in independent film, when it really was independent, there were certain touchstone movies that people saw. Betty Blue, Repo Man, With Nail and I, Wish You Were Here, and then also British culture. Like there was things that were not as easily found, but if you were in a certain type of world, they were things that everybody in that world was doing.
Accessible, so what do people stand to lose now with like the loss of that tactile element? Because you're talking about like, you know, tapes like being passed around, or it's like, oh, have you heard of... Or just like, you know,
literally having to go out and connect with people in order to share this shit.
I mean,
I don't know if anything's lost, because more and more people find community now in many ways. You know, when I was growing up, I was neither particularly popular nor unpopular. There was no poor me story, no nothing. But there were some people that were definitely, definitely on the fringes and far more complex than me and I, you know, who could not find community.
Right.
Sure.
The way young people can today. So
I think
there's a lot of very good things that come with that. Now, with that, obviously, comes a lot of nonsense.
Of course.
And a lot of narcissism and a lot of cruelty and bullying, a whole new layer of bullying and stuff like that. But I do think there is some very, very good things, especially for young people. They can find comfort and people like them very easily now, which was not the case.
That's definitely. So do you use social media at all now?
I don't. Yeah. There's a fake me tweeting and a fake Facebook me.
Ugh.
But it's not me. And a fake Instagram. I don't understand why, but I just, that's a full-time job. And I'm not, like I said, I'm 54. So most of my life is without it. I'm more comfortable without it.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel the more you put yourself out there, the more you give people a reason to dislike you.
Oh, sure.
A reason to take a shot at you. And it doesn't roll off my back. I really like when people like me.
Yeah.
And I don't. And some people get alerts, like when people talk about them, things like that. It doesn't roll off my back.
Yeah,
it hurts me terribly.
Mm. Yeah.
Especially if it's unjust. If somebody says something where it's like, yeah, well, there's a fair point.
Yeah.
It still hurts my feelings, but I'm like, okay. But when it's unjust, especially for political stuff or things you've said that are completely reasonable and on the right side of history.
Right.
When you get attacked for that, it is the most painful thing. God.
Yeah.
Yep, at least for me. That's how I feel. Absolutely.
Yeah, no, there recently was an interview with Erykah Badu. The interview, and there was the larger interview, and then there was, of course, the pull quote. And the pull quote was, I see good things in Hitler. But what she was saying as a whole.
Journalists are not your friend.
Exactly.
And also, everybody loves to take a shot. Everybody, you know, and the thing is, Erykah Badu has proven herself to be a thinker.
Yep. Yeah.
An artist.
Huge cultural shaper.
Goes her own way.
Yeah.
And Now that's a tough one when you mention Hitler. That's like one of those things.
Always an obstacle.
Like as soon as you, it's like somebody dropped an anvil into the conversation.
Yeah.
But poll quotes and stuff, they're just not fair. And the journalist is always looking for something. Mm-hmm. And then they create a faux, manufactured anger. Mm-hmm. And it's usually just a very small group of people, but it can grow.
Yeah.
And it's just schoolyard bullying and also a distraction at work.
Yeah.
You know, oh, I'm going to weigh in on this person I've never met.
And everyone has to.
But I feel like they don't. That's the thing.
No, they don't, actually.
And I know that for younger people, it's very hard to disengage because it's part and parcel of the fabric of their being. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, you don't have to.
Right.
But the unit of measurement nowadays is like these little low kiss, low sigh of like PR bullshit. Like,
yeah.
It's like the Erykah Badu thing. It's like, oh my God, Erykah Badu is a Nazi sympathizer. Like, the takeaways are just
what has she ever done that shows she's a Nazi?
I mean, nothing. Truly, literally nothing. It's people that I think they see the headline, don't even read the article because who has time?
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then they take this and they have their take. And then what really sucks?
And you have to
take
the word for the journalist,
right?
Which. Yeah. Over the years, time and time again, they are very willing to take poetic license
with what somebody says.
Yeah, and also leave out if somebody was laughing or being sarcastic.
Right.
And they love it because they feel it's their job, not all of them, but hack ones.
Right.
Let's create a controversy so people talk about my article or the thing I'm...
Yeah.
And I don't even know if it was literally the headline of the article, but it was someone who took that from it, and then that, of course, became the conversation. And a conversation that truly never happens about her in a positive way.
No.
There's no discussion about her and the impact she's had on culture and black culture and like music culture.
I'm sure there is, but not in that world.
Not trending.
That was trending with that. And also, leave it alone.
Yeah.
You know, I could care less. Like, everybody's upset about whatever. Are they? Is everybody upset?
Yeah.
Everybody's talking about, really? I have heard no one talking
about it. Exactly.
It's just one of those things. I can't stand sweeping generalizations like that.
No.
There's nothing more powerful than a fixed idea. You drop that in, everyone's about, oh, I heard she's a Nazi sympathizer.
Yeah.
It's just lazy. And also, it's just verbal dust. It just means nothing.
God.
And also, like, the arrogance that comes with thinking you're going to have the hottest take on that. You know what I mean? Like, it's going to be my tweet that gets the 3,000 likes.
And it's going to be retweeted. Like there's nobility in it.
Right.
Now, if you are somebody who has tweeted something that is truly edifying and enlightening, like you've created content or tweeted or post done something that people go, I never thought of it like that.
Yeah.
Or that person, that's right.
Right.
You know, whatever it is, that does mean something.
Of course.
But when it's this nonsense... so that we can all pile on. It affects the quality of your life, and actually people are lesser than the more they participate in that.
God, I just, this is just an Erica story, but I saw her this summer at a music festival, and she was incredible.
She's amazing. Mm-hmm. One of the best.
Amazing. And then, like, she had a 45-minute slot, like, just 45 minutes, and, like, but meanwhile, she, like, just wraps you up in her sound, like, within, like, the first number, but then, like, her time was up, and they just cut off her mic, and I'm just like, damn, like, they wouldn't do that.
That's so disrespectful.
It's so disrespectful.
To anyone, even people you don't like. It's embarrassing, and it's disrespectful. There's better ways to do it.
Absolutely.
Now, if it was somebody going on and on,
you know just being
Who is a blowhard and is just wasting people's time or drunk, whatever, that's one thing.
Yeah.
But if it's an artist... like Erykah Badu.
Right.
Can you not give, maybe have somebody signal that you need to
wrap it
whatever
up.
Yeah.
There's another way.
She's done this before, and it's, you know, I don't know. This is sort of a weird, not you know, counterfactual or hypothetical, but it's like, would this have happened to a male artist? Who knows? But
it could. That's one of those things where you don't know, because time is time, and the bookers of the show and the manager, they don't care who it is.
Right.
So it transcends gender.
Sure.
There might have been somebody that they fear. Like,
right.
Oh,
right.
So-and-so's going to be mad.
Right.
So we better not do it. But I feel like I've heard many stories about both genders having the mics cut.
I just think she's just been burned by the industry a couple times.
But she's also beloved. For as much as she's burned, she is as embraced.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's usually the
balance.
The flip side of that.
Yeah.
When people are lightning rods, if you will, for whatever reason, there are just as many, if not more. It's yes. just the squeaky wheels that get the grease. The mm-hmm. naysayers always are the biggest babies and fill their diapers first so they mm-hmm. they get paid attention to.
The world yeah. of culture, it's always the squeaky wheels that get the grease uh-huh. and the biggest babies fill their diapers first.
Yeah.
That's a good rule.
That's a good rule.
This actually reminds me, the other day they had Rose McGowan on The View.
Oh, great, yeah.
And it was a large interview with her. Like, it was, they devoted a lot of time to her story, as they should, because yeah. she's now has her new book called Brave, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which I can't wait to read. And it was like a two-part interview with her. And then, actually, when they came back from commercial break, the ladies were talking about it more after she had left. And, it's true. Whoopi Goldberg was like making this point about like what Rose had said, and they start playing Whoopi off, and then she turns to the camera and she goes, "Maybe don't play me off now. Like maybe this isn't the time to do this." Like she like locked eyes yeah. with the camera and was like, "Eh."
There is nothing more cowardly than a network TV producer, but having been on The View over the years yeah. and having some discussions about them asking me to temp. This is when I worked at Air America and during mm-hmm, the Bush mm-hmm. era. Could you please just temp, not sit, you know, just fear,
yeah.
coward,
yeah.
you know, that's the nature of mainstream show business sure. and mainstream any business.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is fear.
Just protectiveness
and
over
bureaucracy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a tale as old as time.
Yeah.
Right.
But with Rose McGowan, I was watching a little bit of her interview last night on with Christian Amanpour. Yeah. And it seemed as if Christian was trying to catch her out on something. It seemed like it. I don't know for sure, but it felt like it was going that way.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so my stomach started feeling sick, and so I changed the channel. But it seemed like she was saying, "So you were in the hot tub with you know, like that."
Yeah.
Now, all of these things are problematic because I believe the story was, it was a Weinstein story. Mm-hmm. And they were both in a hot tub, and then unwanted advances came. And mm-hmm. Christian kept harping on that, like, why were you in the hot tub? But and Rose, to her credit, was saying, let's not make it about this.
Right. Yep.
Let's not make it about, you know, I've got much more to say on this.
Yep.
It's just one of those things that also in culture, in life, will never get past when people are in hot tubs with an aggressor, any
yeah,
of these
right,
things.
Right, right, right. Why were you there?
Because people who aren't there go, I'd have never done that.
Right, yeah. Exactly.
But when you're 20 or whatever she was and mm-hmm. was being told she's the next big thing and also had been raised in a highly sexualized, inappropriate.
Yes.
Her whole life was inappropriate advances.
Yeah. Yep.
And unfortunate events. And from the very first Doom Generation, everything and all the things, she was used as a sexual, objectified person. She's a very, yes. very beautiful person. And she went along with it. Yep. That doesn't mean she would like to be harassed.
Right.
But it's one of those things where you have to factor in all of what made her her.
Yes.
How she got to this place. And I don't think she'll ever get past with many interviewers.
Mm-hmm.
Those types of questions, because, but yeah. she's very, very good at deflecting those
yeah.
questions.
It's always the circumstantial sort of questions that always right. get tossed mm-hmm. around.
But with her, I think people do it even more because I think this smear campaign that Weinstein did embark on with her
and
did
not just
work.
Him.
And,
not
oh,
just him.
Absolutely yeah, not. You know, the Mossad, just this whole like, collection of people that whose job it was to discredit her. There, that's been the narrative about Rose McGowan for the last 10 years. It's crazy.
Well,
wacko.
That's the thing. It's easy yeah. to, it's low hanging fruit. It's
right.
very mm-hmm. easy to mock and marginalize anyone in entertainment. That's A.
yeah,
but a female
right.
female
right.
in entertainment.
Oh my God. Get out.
Really easy. And if you have taken your clothes off,
yes.
you've that's a trifecta God. Of mocked, marginalized, out. But also, people like to do that. And again, I don't like sweeping generalizations, but for the most part in mainstream media, what they like to do is, I don't want to think about this. How can I categorize this person so we could dismiss it?
Exactly. Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, it's yeah. just, let's do this. Let's pigeonhole it. Let's classify it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And lay it to the side.
Yeah.
And that's just the nature of mainstream, especially news media.
Yeah.
Sure.
It trickles down all the way. I remember in my sketch group in college, like I became the director of it, and I could feel people taking me less seriously just because I was gay. He's saying something forceful and it's bitchy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, forget it. And then, like, my successor, Sudi Green, who ran the group after me, dealt with it on a whole other level because she was a woman. Mm-hmm. And it's just crazy. And it was coming from 20-year-old kids.
Right. Well, it's that I always find that it's difficult to blame or to hold people to what they did, anything below the age of 30.
Yeah,
you know, you put a camera on them or you interview them. Most people are going to say something
dumb
when they're young.
Yeah.
That's just the way it is.
You're not the best version of yourself at 21.
Yeah. You will grow and evolve, hopefully. Mm-hmm. But if everyone in the world, and people turn the camera on, so they love to take pictures of themselves with rice pudding and cupcakes. But I'm saying if people followed them and listened to their interactions all the time and then mm-hmm. put it on the TV or whatever, people go, that was dumb.
Yeah, you're going to find something.
Yeah. Any interest, because obviously in these fraught political times, blah, 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 any engagement interest at all to, like, what's the equivalent now? Like, I guess Crooked Media, like Pod Save America,
well,
that
there's
kind of stuff.
All kinds. There's tons of stand-up benefits, raising money for certain things, and I've attended many of the marches and actions.
Yes.
And then also Dave Rath, my one of my managers, has this tour, the Comedy Resistance, that he's going to different swing states and stuff, and comics are performing there, raising money for certain things.
Amazing.
To get people engaged. There is one of the great things about living in this city in the outer boroughs is there's an action almost every day. You can accidentally walk into one and go, hey, I was there. Mm. I was
yeah,
a citizenship.
Yeah.
I'm engaged. Even if you didn't mean to go, you right. just, totally, well, totally. I stood there and I was there.
I stand with everyone.
Yeah. So there's that. Now, in other ways, I've been asked to speak and make public service announcements, which I no longer have a wish to do because having gone through that,
yeah.
that mill
right.
in the early aughts and the Bushes and mm-hmm. with
yeah.
Air America, again, being in entertainment makes you not listen to. For whatever reason, it's
God.
Like, you know, they could get people could, quote unquote, respect
right.
from all walks of life right. who are willing to say the same thing, but in a lot of these shows won't book them. They just want somebody.
But even with like, that even, yeah, but that like
has been on a TV show
exactly.
or something like
sure.
that. But it's, and in my stand up, I'm happy to talk about things like that. I make no secret of how I feel about mm-hmm. things. And
right.
I will, in one on one conversations, you know, anywhere that I go, I'm not going to keep silent about certain things.
Right.
But I don't know how productive it is all the time. Let's get actors, and also don't use the word celebrity. I mean, mm-hmm. A, I'm not a celebrity, but B, that word is so off-putting.
Sure.
Don't say celebrities for blah, blah, blah.
No,
and also,
yeah.
usually people in entertainment don't refer to themselves as that.
Celebrities. No, not at all.
Right.
But the people putting the campaign together do, thinking it's the right thing to do. It is not the
no,
right thing to
it's
do.
It's discrediting in
it,
some
it's,
way.
It's silly, and it's just, this person, it doesn't define them. Just because
right.
I happen to have done stand-up or been in a show or been in a movie, it does not define me. Mm-hmm. I am a citizen like anybody else, and I have thoughts and feelings. And you know, if I was an electrician, mm-hmm. would you take me more? You know,
right,
do I? Can I say something? Shut up and wire.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
what I'm
yeah, yeah.
Shut up and sing. Shut
yeah.
up and do comedy.
Right, right.
I want
right.
to hear that. Shut up and finish the plumbing.
Yeah.
Keep politics,
no,
it wouldn't
happen.
Keep politics
dare you.
Out of electricity.
I was at a Barbra Streisand concert last year, and there was this woman, and she got political, as she does,
mm-hmm.
And there was this woman a few rows back just screaming about how she didn't want to hear it. And
well,
it's
you know,
like, where
get
the
out.
Fuck
get
did
out.
You think
get
you
out.
Were coming?
And, you know, and not just that. So you don't give a shit?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, please.
So
please.
You don't care what you're saying to me. You've just spoken volumes about you.
Yeah.
You don't want to hear it. So, but I'm sure you're happy to give your opinion.
Anywhere else.
Guess what? This person cares about things.
Mm-hmm.
And you must have known that.
Yeah.
Sorry. So I don't want to hear it just means I don't agree with what that person's saying. But if it was Toby Keith,
mm-hmm.
I'll hear it. You
yes.
know what I mean? It's one of those things. But when people say, I don't want to hear it, then leave.
Yeah,
you leave.
Truly.
You know what I mean? It's This is important, and especially now. It was dire during Reagan and Bush, mm-hmm. but it is beyond critical now.
Oh my God.
And if you're going to be a person who doesn't want to hear, this affects you. Do you not know that?
Yeah.
It affects if you have children, your children and your grandchildren. Now, if you don't give a shit about yourself mm-hmm. and these things, or you think you're above it, do you not care at all about the air your kids breathe or about the financial stability, the infrastructure that's not being served? All of these things that affect your life, deeply impact. Yes, we got rid of Frank Underwood. Yay, Kevin Spacey. He'll never be making decisions that impact your life negatively. Mm-hmm. It's like, okay, so Kevin Spacey's gone. Stop the celebration. It does nothing to affect your life.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Jeffrey Tambor's gone now.
Yeah.
And that was, you know, and I... and
oh, I
and
hear
this,
he's back now, which is...
which actually, you know what? This is... it's like talking about Israel. This is going to get...
oh, please. Yeah.
With the Me Too... I think it's okay to question the questioner every once in a while. If we transcend gender like the bathrooms, human beings are making accusations.
Mm-hmm.
Is it... you know, the person that went after Al Franken works for a Fox affiliate, was contacted by Breitbart before she decided to take this issue with this picture.
Mm-hmm.
Is that not fair to ask that question about why now? Why this? And also this photo. And also I was talking to some other comics who were doing their due diligence. And apparently that photo was fake. They were fake sleeping.
Right.
So, and also beyond that, you were just in war zones. This is your takeaway? This is your takeaway? An illegal war that kicked off this whole thing that's still going with people dying, the refugee crisis, women being sexually assaulted all the time on both sides, and people living in dire poverty. This is your takeaway, that this picture from Alpha, now he's gone. And it throws away all the wonderful work he's ever done. And I think it's okay to question the questioner. Now, people immediately recoil when I start talking about that.
No,
in the same way when I talk about it's okay to care about Palestinians. You're anti-Semitic.
No.
I refuse to get put in a box like that because it's bullying and it shuts down meaningful conversation.
You're looking at the, you know, the million different variables that go into just human beings talking about other human beings.
And anything, I think it's problematic. You call anything Me Too. There's a lot of people who want to get on board. Look at Me Too. Me Too.
That's what bothered me.
It's Me Too can become like a Rod Serling episode of Lights Out on Maple Street. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, or any of the themes he dealt with during the McCarthy era.
Yeah.
Or the McMartin case way back when. These things catch on like a wildfire and they get out of control. And then people... like I said earlier, nothing is more powerful than a fixed idea. That sticks more than the truth. People's lives are destroyed.
Yeah.
Some of these people have been accused have daughters who read the press and hear about it. And I don't think it's fair for any story to say, we don't question the questioner.
Right.
That's like the Spanish Inquisition or the Crusades or anything. Now, obviously, there are people who need to be heard. There is no question about that. Mm-hmm. And I am not questioning that.
Right.
But I do feel if Breitbart News has something to do with it, you have every right to question the accuser.
Do your due diligence.
And I feel like, and because we're talking about human beings.
Absolutely.
And this transcends gender in these cases. And I feel like when is it going to be, and maybe it is okay to talk about that, but it's much easier to come at it with vitriol. Just no. Because when I have discussed this in stand-up about the Rod Serling aspect of it,
right.
I can see people recoiling in their in their seats. The look on their face changes. They're waiting for the shoe to drop. Even before I even start discussing what I'm going to say, they're ready for impact and ready with a response.
It's a conditioning that we have now. And
it's the internet that
terrifies us. I mean, I'm going to be transparent about it. Even talking about it now, it does make you a little nervous because there are those people who will refuse
to
see the whole picture.
You have to fight it.
Absolutely, you have to.
No, this is why the Palestinians are still living under apartheid. Because in this country, we are not allowed to care. That's been the MO since post-World War II, basically.
You are right. Yeah.
In mainstream media, anyway, mainstream media, and politicians, you better not discuss it. You better not talk about the Palestinians in a kind way.
Right.
And that's why for years, you know, it has real impact. People are dead, dying, living in poverty, and living under apartheid. And it is apartheid.
Yes.
Doesn't mean I am not, I don't care. It doesn't mean I'm anti-Semitic at all. And it is a child's argument to talk about that. And I refuse to back down from these things because this is how people suffer.
Yeah.
And it will go on for years because maybe your stomach felt a little knot when I started talking about this. That tells you got to push against it.
Absolutely.
Or nothing will change.
Yeah. Well, it's on purpose too. People want you to see an quote unquote enemy as inhuman. They don't want you to understand that there's a person on the other side. It's what happens right here in America. It's what, you know, if Russia's interfering the way we think they are, they want us to have a civil war. They want us to see the other side as inhuman. That's Trump getting up there and saying they ripped the babies out of the wombs. That's right. them wanting to see us as monsters.
That old chestnut has been, you know, but the thing is Russia, there was collusion. I don't know how many, he confessed to it.
Right. Yes.
Obviously, he's guilty of many, many things, which just shows you that if he was on the first 48, they would have wrapped that case up in 48 hours. Yep. I don't know if you watched the first 48 on A&E, but they get it done. There's just a crime scene with a dead body, a carcass, and maybe a nickname of somebody who might have been there, and they solve it. This, they have nothing but evidence from the person himself. And yet, it's like trying to get John Gotti. It's because
should have put him on first 48.
There's foot dragging, and because many, many other people will be implicated. But that's just the nature of government in this country or any other. But that what you mentioned brings me to another book that influenced my life a great deal called I and Thou by Martin Buber, which was another one of those life-changing things. And it talks about how people either have an I-it relationship with people or an I-thou. I-it means you vilify the other.
Right.
And you lack empathy. Mm-hmm. And I-thou is, this is a human. Now, I'm not at all saying everybody has a right. Believe me, there are people who I feel should be shut down 8 ways to Sunday.
Yeah,
it is not a side to a story to be homophobic or misogynist or a war hawk or a liar. That's not a side to a story.
Right.
So I'm not one of the, as much as I love Jay Krishnamurti, and I do, and that was another seminal book, Awakening Intelligence, for me, and a lot of Eastern philosophies, I can't go as far as your enemy is your teacher. No, Tucker Carlson's not my teacher. Ann Coulter's not my teacher. Nope. Kellyanne Conway, Sean Hannity, I wish them ill.
Yes,
and
yes,
when Andrew Breitbart died,
dangerous.
I was walking on air. When Andrew Breitbart died, I
Dan Sungrave.
Joy.
The
same joy as when I found my wallet in Union Square and I lost it. that level of joy.
I've told my Breitbart story a million times. This is when he was still alive. This is right after Sarah Palin had her whole, what was it? What was the word that she made up? That fucking stupid ass word.
Oh, so many. I don't know.
So many, but she made up refudiate. It was refudiate. And I had tweeted some like stupid old, I was 19. I tweeted some fucking stupid ass zinger of a tweet. It wasn't even that good. But then Andrew Breitbart somehow got wind of it, retweeted it to all of his followers.
Right.
I was on a flight.
They don't really care.
They
just want to attack.
So yep. I was on a flight, turned my phone off. And by the time I landed, turned my phone back on, all these crazy ass motherfucking tweets just calling me all these racist things.
Yes,
right, that's the point of it. That's
why
100%. That's why it was done. And Andrew Breitbart, the reason I felt joy is
the reason I felt joy.
His behavior impacted negatively the lives of many, many people in society.
People. Yes, yes.
And the sting operation, shutting down Acorn, all these many, many things. He is a person with no moral compass who doesn't mean anybody well. And I'm assuming self-loathing has a lot to do with that. Mm-hmm. You can't be a happy, stable person and behave in that manner.
No.
Mm-hmm. And his taking him out of the equation is a very good thing. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not talking about my vitriol is not aimed at little petty things in my personal life. Like, that person was mean to me at the deli. I'm talking about people
harmful
who have actual power that destroy lives for years to come. Mm-hmm. And if the Trump voters, who, by the way, are not hard, decent, hardworking Americans, and I'm tired of that myth.
Yeah.
They are decent, hardworking nothing. They, if they didn't get it by the time, and first of all, he didn't win.
Didn't win.
And I hate when people just take it. Oh, he was elected. He was not.
No.
With the rolling back of the Voting Rights Act, with voter suppression, with interference,
bingo,
and with all kinds of software tampering that was in play when John Kerry won, and when the late Antonin Scalia, good riddance to bad rubbish, installed George Bush illegally.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe a Republican has won legally.
Since
Bobby Kennedy was shot.
Oh, wow.
I believe, and this is not conspiracy, this is business. Because
mm-hmm.
with right-wingers, it's business. It's blood sport. With Breitbart, it's a blood sport.
Yep, yep, yep.
There is a concerted effort to dominate mm-hmm. and to make sure less people vote. Because when more people vote, especially since the 60s...
Swings left.
It swings left. Mm-hmm. And the world, American culture especially, there was no putting the toothpaste back in the tube after the 60s and the early 70s. That's just a fact. And the great majority of humans that live in this country are not with the quote-unquote moral majority, the right. evangelicals. They're a very, very small part, but they're well-funded, and they've got power. They've got also big industry behind them.
Mm-hmm.
And a decision was made, I think, we got to make sure that people who have an impact, like George McGovern, like Mike Dukakis, like Bobby Kennedy, do not have this impact. Like Jill Stein or Elizabeth Warren or Maxine Waters, they got to neutralize them, and they have to create myths around them, and they have to create that it was a landslide that McGovern lost in. I don't know if that's true.
No.
Because there's been... I don't know if I'm allowed to say the F word.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
You know that rat fucking, which is made famous during the Nixon era.
Yep.
Where, and Karl Rove was recruited as a young man because Haldeman and Ehrlichman noticed what a piece of shit he was tampering with college elections. Does that tell you something about, you know, where they're
coming
from?
He'd go there, yeah.
So after Watergate, you know the phrase Republicans would say never again. They didn't mean never again that. They meant never again will we be busted and transparent. And they started at that time buying up news stations and papers and creating faux think tanks and influencing people. And again, this is just business. It's not tinfoil hat time. And that's another way to disengage and dismiss.
It's just people to say, like, that's gobbledygook. Yeah.
They're just a conspiracy. Since we can go back to ancient Rome, we can go back to ancient Egypt. Oh, that's just the nature of power. It seeks to consolidate.
Well, it's just, there's something happening now, and like Maddow talked about this, like she was like, two things about obstruction of justice are either people get caught or people get away with it and people risk their entire lives and their careers because they know at least there's some chance of them getting away scot-free.
Yeah.
And that's what's happening now with all
Well, there's never been big repercussions.
No.
Really? Not for Watergate, not for Iran-Contra, not for Nicaragua, none of these.
He just couldn't run the free world anymore.
For Bridgegate.
Yeah.
But Benghazi, let's keep talking about that. That's because the right tends to dominate the conversation because they're very loud and they've got the money and the power and the airspace to do it. And also, the left and the center is not that mean-spirited. They are not. That's
Yeah.
It's who you are that makes you be, how you gravitate. It's neuroscience. It's not even always about issues, especially for the right. It's not about issues at all because there are no issues.
Right.
It's limbic brain, neuroscience, cruelty, anxiety, fear, money grab, whatever it is. There's the cynics and the suckers. The cynics are at the top using the dum-dums as a hammer.
It is a limbic.
And then the dum-dums at the bottom think they're going to get what they want, and also
but there's something
people
at the
of
end.
Color and the gays will go away.
Yeah, right.
It is a limbic brain thing because it is just all like...
It's all emotion.
It's all emotional, but it's all... Everything else is informed by that emotion of just...
Right.
We're gonna...
It's frontal lobe, too, and it's myopic.
Yep.
And it's easier, right? If you're a right-winger, you get to claim the moral high ground. And you don't have to care about anything. You don't have to do anything. You don't have to sacrifice anything. You've got to recycle. I don't want to pay my taxes. And I always feel like, do you like driving on this road?
Mm-hmm.
Do you go to an airport? guess what? Your taxes.
We all paid for this shit, motherfucker.
And yeah. I don't want my taxes going to Planned Parenthood. Well, first of all, because of the Hyde Amendment, they
don't.
They really don't.
Yeah.
So you want 90%, 90 cents on every dollar to go to the military industrial complex? Is that, you would prefer that? And to lobbyists and all that kind of stuff? But that would require unpacking and thinking. So it's much, much easier to be on the right.
Right.
Because you get to pretend that you've got the, you know, the flag and Jesus, whatever the heck.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're on the side of the right side. Yeah.
Yeah. But you get to coast. But you will, it does bite you in the head. You still have to breathe dirty air. You still have to drink water. That's
we're
tainted.
All living on the same
still,
world.
Yeah, you still have to go on a bridge that hasn't been serviced for 800 years, or Amtrak that has antebellum, infrastructure.
Yeah.
All of these things, they still have to do that too.
Yep.
So what are you thinking in terms of 2018, 2020? Who are the strong leaders? Like, I would just like to hear from you who you're excited about, if anybody.
Well, I really enjoyed Kennedy's rebuttal to the State of the Union. And I love Elizabeth Warren. There's a lot of good Democrats, Maxine Waters, and many, many of the great Democrats you'll see on C-SPAN 2 on the floor fighting the good fight. Mm-hmm. They don't get a lot of
press time.
Major airtime. But the thing is, none of that matters until we undo what's been done with gerrymandering,
right? Absolutely,
and the Voting Rights Act and the tampering of software. Nothing will change.
Yeah, it can't.
Until that is addressed.
Right.
All of that's being appealed up to the Supreme Court, and that's just like
a
dead end.
Unfortunately, the Supreme Court is hopefully right somebody will do the right thing in the Supreme Court. I mean, there's some decent judges, but for the most part, it's been packed.
Yeah.
With a lot of these people that are on the side of the bullies.
Right. Yeah. Because I think, was it North Carolina overturned or something?
Well, North Carolina, again, they are not well represented. The people of North Carolina are not in any way well represented by the handful of assholes. They're represented in the same way that the right wing of the Knesset in Israel dominates, the right wing of our government dominates. Does not represent us, but it is easy to, and also Brexit doesn't represent England.
No.
But it's easy to see why people go, what a bunch of assholes.
Yep.
If, and also Fox News, unfortunately, thanks to Rupert Murdoch, goes all over the world.
Yeah.
And they see Fox News. So you can understand why they'd go, what's wrong with them?
Yeah, they think that's us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they don't realize unless they go outside of that. But also, if you only saw the Brexit people and the Theresa May people and the UKIP in England, you'd go, what a bunch of assholes.
Yeah, of course.
Every country in every era has these problems.
Yeah.
And until human nature changes, this is not going to change.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
So.
Well, I mean.
But luckily, we do make more. I mean, time does go on. I mean, progress does. That's why they have to. I don't know if it's consolation that they have to steal the elections to win them.
Right.
Does that make sense? You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a comfort to know, but it's not really. I mean, like, yeah, the moral arc bends not linearly, not even.
Well, there is no moral. The universe doesn't tilt towards anything.
No.
It's neutral at best.
Right,
at best.
Right,
at best.
Right.
But when people talk about the universe tilts towards justice, I don't think so. I think it's, and also it doesn't take requests. So stop asking it stuff.
Right.
It's not your personal.
It's not listening.
It's not Alexa.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's not Alexa.
It's just stop. That's narcissism to me. Like
the universe
ask
is not
the universe.
Alexa.
It's there. It's not. It doesn't hear you.
Right.
It's not going to speak back to you.
Right.
And if it tilted towards justice, history would be a very, very different thing.
We should say it is rule number 98 of culture. Okay.
The universe is not Alexa. Although what you're saying about...
We just have to point that out because it is a rule.
We have to just immortalize that. But what you're saying about the toothpaste not being able to go back in the tube after the 60s is...
And the early 70s were... people don't remember that. Having been cognizant and in school at that time, they were very, very... You know, the early 70s were even more so in many, many ways. And... Carter was a great, great president. Now, the story that's been told since, because they have to, is that he was the worst because they can't have a person like Carter and the First Lady Rosalynn, who are still building homes for Habitat and Humanity.
Oh my God.
Yes,
they're authentically trying to make a better world. That's why the Republicans have to tar and feather them and pretend. And by the way, Reagan, in cahoots with Kissinger, kept the hostages hostage.
God.
Until after the election. This is the kind of person that you're talking about to make Carter look bad and to And do we know he won in a landslide? I don't trust that. And you know, our press is very fast to call out other countries. They'll, in a second, stolen election, yet here,
oh my God,
you bring it up and then you're seen as a pariah.
First of all, whenever I go to Atlanta, I cry because there's a big sort of banner that, you know, honors Jimmy Carter. And
He should be.
Just the best man. And if you go to his presidential library in Georgia, it's the most beautiful building in the world. They play the sweetest little video about him and Rosalind. Just about the peanut farm and everything. And oh, my mm-hmm. God. Jimmy Carter's the best.
They make it very easy. If you hear Charles Kruthammer or Hannity or any of these guys or Bill Kristol or
just any Fox asshole. Any
Fox, and then the ones that are considered the smarter ones.
What about Shep Smith now? Good,
Shepard
bad.
Smith, he has his moments because of his personal.
Because,
but he's
right.
still there.
But he still works at Fox.
He's still
right.
there.
Bar is still so low.
And if you hear some of the usual suspects castigating, disparaging the person, then you know that you should be on that person's side.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like in the same way and Bush and Reagan and Trump, they name things. The Clear Skies Initiative. Well, you better watch your back. Mm-hmm. Birds and anything in the sky. You know, if it's called that, everything's opposite.
No Child
day.
Left Behind.
Yes. So they make it actually quite simple.
Yeah.
Everything is the opposite in that it's branded because also they have no respect for their base, who they're talking to, because you can't respect people and lie to them that way.
Fox News,
Roger Ailes, who was there, Rupert Murdoch, none of those guys. Now, having been on Fox a number of times, which is a fool's errand, you see that there's a divide between those that know they're lying and those that don't.
Right.
I don't know which is worse. There's some that are very clearly understanding what their role is, and they know that they're lying.
Right.
Then there's some that you meet there, Hannity, Brian Kilmeade, some of the Fox friends. They are dum-dums. They are the high school bully.
Gretchen.
And they
aren't
real
clue.
Political animals. They don't go outside. They don't do their homework. Read off teleprompter. Then there's like Bill O'Reilly, who in the early days anyway, Greta Van Susteren, Tucker Carlson. They know they're lying.
Yeah.
They are just getting paid. They're opportunists.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know which is worse. They're both bad.
What's your take on Megyn Kelly?
I don't like her.
Yeah, no.
I don't like her. You know what? Day late, dollar short.
100%
with some of these things.
Yeah,
100%.
Her true colors shine through because you hear about this Jane Fonda stuff.
Oh, it's
no, she's
bullshit.
Nasty.
She's completely nasty.
Anybody who's got a problem still, like my father, still refers to as Hanoi Jane.
Yeah.
The man is 80.
God.
He won't let it go.
Can't.
And his whole life is and it shouldn't be because he is the child. He's first generation. Raised poor in the Bronx, first to get past the eighth grade, and wanted to be the opposite of his family. You know what I mean?
Like,
it's that same.
And he, at college, was a young Republican and has never let it go because now, at this point, and he's very religious, mm-hmm. but he's a very nice guy and he's very bright. He's just wrong.
Yeah, just
on
wrong.
So many things. But now, and he doesn't like Fox, he doesn't like Trump. He's not one of those.
Yeah, right.
But he is a hardcore Republican.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, and he has elevated Clinton bashing or distaste to a philosophy. I don't know why.
Oh.
It's just the way it is. But to pull at that thread now, he'd have to rethink everything that he has built his
right. Yeah,
ideology.
It's now in him.
It's
yeah.
in there. But he's actually a very nice guy.
Mm-hmm.
But in the aggregate, out there, the out there. Although he is in retirement, he does nothing but volunteer.
Right.
Meals on Wheels, the big grandpa program for reading, all of these things. But he still has he thinks, Kucinich and those guys, wacky liberal. Like
Right.
Are you Obama, a liberal? Are you kidding me? Obama is a Republican, if nothing else. I mean, I am a fan of Barack Obama, but he was a conservative of the old school, and he was far too conciliatory.
Mm-hmm.
Makes no sense why he would ever think there could be bipartisanship when they said out loud, we will do everything we can to stand against this man. There is no reason in the world to try and curry favor with people who will never, never accept you.
Yeah, they were upfront about going as low as possible.
I know, and they certainly did. And he always was so nice.
Tragic.
So parsing his words so much, which was, And you know what? He had nothing but support. He had people running through the streets. When has that happened?
Oh, I remember. Yeah.
And yet still to have Rick Warren at the inauguration was the first thing where you go, now I feel sick. It's starting. The conciliatory nonsense is starting. Mm. He actually thinks that he can build a bridge. Or he's secretly more conservative than we know. But and when that guy said, you lie at the State of the Union, he might as well have said, boy. You know what I mean? Like, if you don't understand how racist the Republican Party has become over the last 30 years, then you're either a liar or stupid or you don't care.
Because you know what? The whole thing about him thinking that he can build a bridge to the other side is just made so much worse by the fact that that's never happened. The reverse of that has never happened in the last decade.
Oh, Democrats always are willing. Always are willing. And yet they're painted as ones who are not, because that's what makes them Democrats.
Right. Yeah.
They are a different animal than a Republican, especially today. A modern day Republican. I don't know what you would call it.
No, I don't know.
A nihilist. Actually, that gives nihilism a bad name. I'm not even going to do that because nihilism is often misunderstood. But they are.
They're like proto-fascists, but you can't even use the word fascists anymore because overuse that.
No,
that
they
word.
Are opportunists, craven,
well, they're
limited,
obsessed.
Limited.
They're obsessed
limited.
With being victims. I mean, I think in any position they want to.
And that's all fake. They know. And in the same way that Bill Buckley knew there was no liberal media bias, but you say it enough, and you know
it becomes real.
That they're going to bend over backwards to try and not be. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? And so NPR will give a harder time to Elizabeth Warren than they will to Kellyanne Conway.
Because because
we don't want to show why.
Show it.
You know, if you're going to consider liberal with the truth and with kindness and with progress, take it. Take the label.
Yeah.
It is not a dirty word. That's what, and I had it when I got the job at Air America. I had liberal tattooed on my arm.
Uh-huh.
Just to, and that's not like, aren't I cool? It's just to say, it's not a dirty word.
Yeah.
It's,
no,
it's,
yeah,
it
no,
should
no,
be
no.
embraced. And I don't want to, and progressive is fine or whatever, but even at the radio station, they said, maybe we shouldn't say liberal. And I was like, I am absolutely saying liberal.
Yeah.
It has a grand tradition of being the reason we make any progress.
Yes,
right.
Absolutely. Progressive.
And
yes. I feel like, but even in high school, I grew up on Long Island. I was scared to say I was liberal. I thought the easy thing is saying like, well, if I say I'm liberal, they're gonna know I'm gay and I'm afraid.
No, see, that's brainwashing, and
of course
it was.
That's
what filters down. Liberal is something to be proud of. Conservative
yeah.
is not
no.
at this point. And saying you're Republican, as I said, you should keep that to yourself. Or if you voted for Brexit, don't say it out loud, man. That's like. You don't.
Yeah.
Rush Limbaugh's your friend.
I know.
Fuck?
I remember because I do watch Real Housewives, and on the New York, Andy Cohen fully asked them, so who voted for who? And the ones that voted for Hillary Clinton are raising their hands proudly, and then the rest of them would rather keep it private.
Right, which tells you that they
that they're ashamed.
And why do you want to keep it private? So you know that it's bad.
Yep.
So then why did you do it?
Because they know it's about their money.
Right, but it isn't. They're gaining nothing.
Yeah, but
They will gain nothing by this. Everybody thinks they're going to somehow make money through this dysfunctional government. That is not the case, and it's all going to collapse. You know what I mean? There is no there with that money. He doesn't even manage his. He's bankrupt three times over.
Oh no, God. It's horrible,
and won't release his tax returns for many, many reasons. But
Mamba money.
It's just and I think Russian money
and Russian Mamba.
Clearly,
it's just silly. And if, like I said, that decent, when people try and say, you know, the Tea Party, just hard, no, racist.
Yes.
Racist.
Yeah.
Trump voters, not decent, hardworking.
You were out
anything.
Against the Tea Party very
right,
early.
And I was banned from MSNBC. I was on Keith Olbermann's show, and I was banned from MSNBC. Although, oddly, they started calling me after Al Franken was accused to come on and talk about it. And I was like, you guys can go fuck yourselves.
No.
That is, you were banned me for being, for what? For what?
Was it Keith who like put,
no,
put
no,
in
no.
that?
No, Keith.
Okay.
Was appalled, and then Keith left shortly after
that. Sure.
But that was and then
the
I became a regular on his new series that he then left. I'm not the only one who's been banned for things like that, but I also lost voiceover jobs after that because a faux controversy was created by the web art and fake things.
Fuck.
It wasn't really, and the companies I was doing voiceovers wouldn't have even known. They're not watching that show, but the pretend we're gonna boycott, and they also like almost like robo bomb it. You know what I mean? It's like the same five people creating tons of fake outrage.
Yep, yep, yep.
And but then, you know, when you lose jobs over something like that, then you realize, oh, I probably shouldn't be working with those people anyway. If that's
exactly.
If they take issue with racists being called racist, then I probably shouldn't be
working with them, period.
With those people.
Before we move on, I have to ask, and this is just a very frivolous question because I wanted to ask this for so long. Was the scene in Wet Hot American Summer where you had to find the phone in the infirmary shot in one take?
Yes, we only had one chance to do it because
you had to destroy everything
because of the money. I mean, like the budget.
Sure,
they didn't have enough to redo everything.
To redo the whole thing. Oh my gosh!
Much to my chagrin, because I enjoyed doing that with Joe so much, and I loved screaming, running up, and I had wished so much we could keep that scream. I would have liked to have kept on running, screaming, and knocking things over. But my favorite part is when Joe is frightened by a lampshade.
Yes, yes,
and then
I know.
And punches it. And unfortunately, in the liner notes for this release of this Wet Hot compendium, I said he punched the phone. And I should have corrected that, but I didn't feel like retexting David Wayne. But he punched a lampshade. And that was like... In the moment. But that makes me laugh so hard when he gets startled by the lampshade and then
punches
hits it.
I know, oh my God, it's so funny.
Everything.
Yes. So people who are reading the liner notes, just know that Janine.
It's not phone. I know it's not phone. It was now. The lampshade.
Janine knows once and for all.
It really is so incredible, that cast and what everyone went on to do. And like, it's just crazy.
It's amazing that it was Bradley Cooper's first film, Amy Poehler's first film. I mean, Paul
Elizabeth
Rudd
Banks
obviously
early?
Had a, I think Elizabeth Banks' first film, I believe. There's got to be.
Chris Maloney. Chris Maloney,
well, Chris Maloney actually was an actor, but then became
more bigger.
But the level of fame achieved by Rudd, Cooper, and Poehler is one of those. That's very rare.
Crazy.
That's for anybody.
Yeah.
But then also David and Michael's trajectory upwards and Cameron, like all
the states,
of that.
Stella, those people, yeah.
Because you're lucky if one person makes it that high in the pantheon.
Right.
But to have so many in that cast who went on to become uber famous.
Iconic signature performers and artists.
That just goes to show like that the curation that went into that ensemble was just
Well, also,
so
we all mostly knew each other beforehand.
Of course.
I had not met Chris Maloney before that, but I knew of him.
Amazing, versatile.
Oh my gosh, so funny.
So
hugest
funny.
Crush.
I can
say it now.
Oh
I had the biggest crush on Chris Maloney.
So good looking.
You have to imagine. Like when he walks in the room, like you become an animal.
Not only attractive that way, but funny and nice and very, very talented. And I used to just go watch him do his scenes.
Really?
With pure lust. And I'm not really like that. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like,
famously low libido.
And it's not about somebody's looks all the time, but if you make them funny,
yeah, 100%.
Then it's like, now
there's a power there.
Seals the deal.
I don't even know what to do. But he is like, his body is ridiculous. And usually I don't go for that kind of thing.
No.
But in his case,
that's a man.
That's a manly man.
Yeah.
Chris Maloney.
Also, never forget that gay sex scene that was like
huge.
Totally pure and
a
very great and like honestly very loving, like super respectful.
That's just great
not
acting.
For laughs for laughs, but like great.
But
no, that's authentically committed to the characters and doing
love
a great
it.
job. And also it's testament to both of their acting skills. Now everybody thinks Michael Ian Black is gay. That's David Wayne, Michael Shoulder, and Michael Ian Black. They've been dealing with that since they were teenagers. And they embrace it because they are secure in who they are, and they know that it's not a criticism to be called that. But Michael Ian Black, that must have. Do you know? He told me, sir. I don't know whether he's joking. He claims, and I'll take him at his word, that when he was a kid, his mom and her partner sat him down and said, "You know, you can come out to us." He says that happened. He was like, "I'm not gay."
Like,
two moms.
They knew.
He has a dad, and then they divorced, and then he had two moms.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's telling me the truth, I believe him.
Yeah, 100%.
He said they sat him down and said, "You know, you can come out." Isn't that hilarious?
Lovely.
That's very funny.
And he has to say to his moms, "I'm not gay.
And they're like, okay, not
like,
yet.
That seems like a sketch from something.
Oh, 100%.
Oh my God. That's pretty great. And it's always the ones we have these straight male friends who are just the best people in the world.
You're like, damn it.
We're often mistook for being gay, but then it's, there's something.
No, they're just
that
a good human.
That usually means that they're either nice or British.
Exactly.
Yeah, right?
Because it's a fine line. It's
right.
a fine line.
It's a fine
with
line.
The, with the Euro. Actually, the whole British, French, sometimes Scandinavian.
Yeah.
Yes.
Gay or just international.
Such a gray area.
It's true. Once you go to Europe, you're like, God, everyone here is an option.
No, but they just have style.
Exactly.
And they've just got a certain way about
je ne sais quoi.
Yeah.
Wow.
A gay je ne sais quoi.
A gay je ne sais quoi.
A gay ne sais quoi.
A gay ne sais quoi. Title of episode. Write it down.
There we go, Will.
Okay, so we should move on to I Don't Think So, Honey.
Okay.
This is the moment where you take some, and we've done it a lot already, but this is more of a concentrated 1 minute. Anything in pop culture, anything you want, take 1 minute to rail against it.
Okay, well, it's very difficult for me to get to a point succinctly and with clarity.
But you know what? You do what you do.
But, if I try to get into a minute, you can just stop me at a minute, and maybe it'll be under a minute.
Okay, well, we'll go first
we'll
so
go
you,
first.
You can
something
see a
I
demo.
Touched upon earlier
Wonderful.
That I will expand upon.
Okay, great.
Perfect.
So I think I have a good one.
Okay, great. This is Matt Rogers' I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, fantasy movies with long-ass titles, like Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, and now this one, next one is going to be called Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, and like The Secret of Dumbledore, and also How to Get a, Lose a Guy in 10 Days, blah, blah, blah. It's like, simplify it. If you want me to see this movie, call it Dumbledore is Gay.
Yes.
Second, I Don't Think So, Honey, on this topic, them saying, well, Dumbledore's not going to be explicitly gay, but watch this space, quote, watch this space. No, I've been watching this space. Dumbledore is gay, and I also think he was an intense fuck. Here's my thing. If you don't want him to be gay, don't cast Jude Law, who is one of those straights who gives you gay. Mm-hmm. We're seeing him as a psychosexual gay young pope. I mean, he's not gay in the thing, but he might as well be. The man gives more face than Naomi Campbell. Here's the deal.
15 seconds.
We are over it. We want Dumbledore to be gay. Uh-huh. I'm here watching the movie. Let me tell you something about the first Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. It was more sexual than Call Me By Your Name. Dumbledore is gay. Let's have him be gay. Jude Law is playing him. He's gay. I Don't Think So, Honey.
And that's 1 minute. Wonderful.
Okay.
That was gorgeous. That was well constructed.
That was a gay art house film. Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Absolutely.
Did you see that?
I didn't.
It was just take us at our word when there's just very artfully done homoeroticism,
like, beautifully
in that movie.
Shot homoerotic scenes between Colin Farrell and Ezra Miller.
So,
well, isn't that true of many films, especially in early cinema?
Absolutely.
The celluloid closet.
Let's say it's a hearkening back to the celluloid closet. But I'm upset with them because they have Johnny Depp in the movie, and it's come on.
You know
his
what?
Taste in jewelry is not right for me.
There
and,
you go.
And his sartorial choices in general are not quite right for me. But he seems like a very interesting person.
Yeah,
wouldn't
right?
have gone to a college rock concert back when you were in school, back when you were at Providence. Sartorially, he did not inspire.
Well,
he would
you know,
not have
he was into music and stuff. He always has been. But
right.
I don't know that we would have had the same taste.
There
I don't
go.
Know that for sure.
Right.
Sure.
Right.
But
there you go. Okay.
But anyway, look, I'll probably go see it.
Sure.
But I just think, let's move past it. Who's going to be the first character in one of these big things to just be gay? You know what I mean? Like, when is that going to happen?
Yeah.
Like Star Wars with Poe Dameron. Like, that character, he's on the edge.
Sure.
And I feel like, at what point are we just going to have, like, a major mainstream...
explicitly
gay character?
But not even,
who's
like,
going to take the risk?
You don't even have to move the dial that much. You just make him be like, ugh. Just make him scoff in a fucking scene, and then we'll get it. So, I get what you're saying. I have that frustration,
I mean?
Too.
Yeah, like, but has there not been?
Not in film.
Not
I don't
in like
think.
Major.
We were just talking
pitch.
About this. We on our last episode, I said there's not a gay character in this one thing, and there literally has to be. It was Star Wars.
Oh,
you
sure.
You know what I mean? I get like not wanting to risk Star Wars, but it's like you take risks
it's
all
not
the time
a risk.
In Star
it's
Wars.
2018.
There
exactly.
You go.
That's how I feel, and I'm like, you're telling me in the galaxy because it is a galaxy.
Uh huh.
That's actually rule number 13
Still in the
of
galaxy,
culture.
One out of every four people.
Right. One out of every. So, rule number 13 of culture.
Star Wars.
It's a galaxy. And in the galaxy, there's not a gay?
You know what? You're right.
I don't know, honey.
Maybe they're transcended that and just pansexual.
Sure.
And pansexual.
They do say that Laura Dern's character in the extended canon is same-sex oriented. But we didn't say that on
is
screen.
Is Leia's lover, potentially?
Well, I don't know if that was fanfic or not.
Got it.
But listen, give me something. Throw me a bone, films.
Come on. All right. So that was beautiful, Matt.
Thank you for saying
my
it was
phone's
beautiful.
Fritzing out a little bit.
Well, don't worry, baby. I got you.
I don't know. It's good. We're
okay,
good.
It's back from
great.
The fritz.
Great.
All right. This is Bone Yang's I Don't Think So, Honey, and his time will begin now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, food truck culture? Listen, it's ephemeral. It's the whole construct of it is built on it not being available to you at all times, which is fine, but just to have to create this artificial scarcity around, oh, the dumpling truck's here, it's Thursday, and having a line of people, this throng of people just clamoring for dumplings is just not what we've grown out of this as a culture, haven't we? We've grown out of, first of all, eating from fucking styrofoam trays. I don't fucking think so.
Styrofoam's harmful.
Styrofoam. What am I supposed to do with this? Throw this in the trash and have that not be a stain on my conscience? Oh my God, I don't think so, honey. Food truck culture.
15 seconds.
For having food that is subpar, that coasts on novelty because you got it out of a fucking vehicle. I don't think
Five
so, honey.
Seconds.
You know what? This is not a novelty in some countries. I go to China, I get fucking delicious meals out of a cart as well. It doesn't cost me an arm and a fucking leg to buy stuff out of a food truck.
Well over
so
1 minute.
I don't
minute.
Think so, honey. Food truck culture.
1 minute, 10 seconds.
That's all right. All right,
you
feel
will
good
be
about
docked,
it.
Pay.
Okay, that's fine. I'll take it.
Listen.
Janine, are you ready for your I Don't Think So, Honey?
I am.
So this is Janine Garofalo's I Don't Think So, Honey. Her time starts now.
I do not think so, my dear. A couple of things. One is the vocal fry, which used to be Valley Girl speak. And
yes.
At least when I was growing up, it was contained. Mostly to Southern California. Uh-huh. Moon Zappa, of course, made it very, very famous.
Sure.
But it's broken wide, domestically, internationally. And when I hear people who are far too old to be doing, it's just one of those things that becomes, it's an affectation that becomes, unfortunately, part of their way of communicating. And
yep.
it's very annoying because it's not authentic.
Seconds.
And also slang and lingo when it's used by adults, especially on the Cooking Channel and the Food Network. And also, I believe Richard Lewis deserves credit for On Steroids and From Hell. Now, he coined those phrases on Letterman in the 80s.
15 seconds.
And they are now part of everyone's lexicon on steroids. First of all, it you shouldn't be still saying it, but
no.
Richard Lewis deserves credit.
Five seconds.
For On Steroids and From Hell, from Letterman, from the early 1980s.
Boom!
And that's 1 minute. Oh, gorgeous. What a gorgeously
timed. Covered,
I don't think so, honey.
We covered
but nobody ever gets... He
yeah, no, thank you for
in
that.
In his comedy routines, and they became like a fire. You know what I mean?
Yes.
But when people still say... On steroids, on acid. First of all, it's been done.
No.
Let's talk about the food as an adult would.
Yes.
You don't have to say that cupcake, first of all, it's of average size. Stop pretending it's large. I can't stand when people are pretending food is large when it's really of average to small size. I don't want to play along with that. But when you see adults... speak hashtag worth it. Just speak.
Just speak on it.
Because I felt like the hashtag thing literally couldn't last much longer than it when it first became a thing. I was like, okay, the hashtag thing, that's gonna get filtered out. But no, it's now becoming the world on every television show. They say hashtag.
It's just
this.
All kinds of slang and lingo. And I understand that's part of our linguistic, of our language,
There's
all kinds of slang that has stood the test of time. I mean, from Shakespeare on, I mean, Shakespeare is responsible for a great many things that we say, but some of the things, and also the way up, it's like, so I was like, I didn't want to go and then be late. Like, you hear it on cell phones, because once you overhear inane conversations on cell phones, you can't underhear them.
Mm-mm.
You know, you just hear them.
Yeah.
And adults in business, you know, they're real biznos. You can tell because they say, we're on the same page and blah, at the end of the day, touch base. So that's how I know they're in business.
Oh my God.
But they're speaking in that childlike,
lilt,
sing-songy way, male and female.
Yep.
Yeah.
People 30 and over.
Yep.
And I just feel like that's not how you spoke.
No.
You know, and you are bastardizing the Queen's English, and I shan't have it.
We love it.
And it's such a hard left turn mentally to be like, wait, I'm going to hashtag this out loud. Like, what are you doing?
Well, yeah, just
keep the conversation going. Don't Don't punctuate it with this unnecessary, like, redundancy.
Or even, like, you are so funny. Like, when the person has said something, and also I've noticed a lot of younger people, not gonna lie, it's a thing.
It's a young, no, don't do it, come on.
Not gonna lie, but then what follows is the most innocuous statement no one would ever doubt the efficacy of. It's like, not gonna lie, love bottled water. Yeah, I mean, like, it's the strangest... Yeah.
It's slang.
Slang must go.
Slang must go.
And on House Hunters too. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking. Bonus. It's not a bonus room. First of all, it's a room. Let's get that straight. But meaty room, man cave, she shed.
Oh God.
She shed. I haven't heard she shed.
All of these nonsense words that adults use, especially like fun suburbanites, like when they get together. Oh, geez. You know what I mean? You see them on HGTV a lot. It's their form of humor, I guess, and communication. Sure. But it's just like, that's not how you speak, right? And I'm sure when the chips are down, if there's an emergency, if the house is on fire, I doubt very much when things are serious, people are like, oh my God, grab the duvet.
Not gonna lie, we need to get out of here.
We need the duvet.
Hashtag disaster.
Hashtag over it.
Unfilter just, yourself, people.
Right? So if you don't speak that way when you're things are important to you, I feel like, just speak normally, because also it's more interesting to the listener, I find, and for you to up your linguistic game. Just speak and don't back off. I know a lot of young people don't want to be vulnerable, and that's part of it. It's and I was all, and they're like, and I know that's part of teenage. Mm-hmm. I don't want to commit because I'll get embarrassed if they make fun of me. So I do understand that.
They might not know anything else.
But I feel like just speak it. Mm-hmm. Speak it. And it's better for you. It's better. And also, there's many, many very intelligent people in my peer group, in my life, who speak, unfortunately, with a lot of slang, with the vocal fry. Now, if I didn't know that they were as smart as they are, and I'm not even talking about academics, I'm talking about emotional intelligence, which can be more important sometimes, that you wouldn't know it. You know, by the way they kind of communicate in a general way.
And then it surprises you that when they do form a cogent thought.
It takes a while to get there, not because it literally takes a while to get there, but because you've written that person off.
Mm-hmm. And I don't, you know what I mean? What I'm saying is I don't write them because I like them and I'm aware of them, but I don't understand the need to speak in this manner. Mm-hmm. Especially, you know, like I said, I'm among the oldest, but you're 48 years old. Why are you speaking like Guy Fieri or a child? You know, which is basically the same thing.
Pretty much. You
know. Like Guy Fieri or a child. Ugh. Why? Well, wow. This has been such a delight. Thank you so much, Janine, for coming on.
Thank you for being here. This has been an amazing episode. Now, here's the thing. I guess, like, if from where you're listening, we're probably going to get on Splash Mountain very soon.
Sure.
Just to let you guys know where we're at.
Between Space Mountain and Splash Mountain, we just took an hour to like
depending
eat a turkey
on the lines.
Like,
depending on the lines. Well, we did other fast contingencies.
Pass. Yes. Exactly. So many contingencies.
Anything could happen.
But we probably just stopped and ate a turkey leg for an hour. And
but
now
it's
we're
very, very
on.
Warm. There's bathroom breaks. There's crowds. You must consider
all things.
Variables. Yes, yes.
Consider all variables out there.
Aspirationally, you will be, hopefully,
on Splash Mountain at this point. And really getting our ultimate life on it.
Of course, of
to
course.
Use a slang
to use
term.
Not a slang term. That's more like an Oprah, live your best life.
Right.
That kind of thing, or your better angels, or
a little aphorism, a little platitude.
Or people love to get it on jewelry or t-shirts.
Sure.
Just somehow, like that. That's going to do it for them.
Well, I'd rather them have a phrase or a saying on their necklace than their own name.
Oh, I don't
actually,
mind
I'd
the
rather
name.
The own name than namaste or live, love, laugh.
No,
or,
namaste
you know,
and live, love, laugh both have to go for sure. All right, everybody. Thank you for listening. Thank you, Janine Garofalo.
Thank you.
All righty.
Should we close it with a song?
Yeah, what song? Let's do the theme to Space Mountain.
There is space, and on that space, there is a mountain for sure. And we found love on the mountain.
Bye.
Forever Dog. This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.